Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. For 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I'm going to start with verses 1 through 4. First Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, therein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory that I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. I'll go to Lord in prayer. Father, we ask again that you bless our time. We ask that you would guide us through the Scriptures. Father, we ask that you would draw our hearts unto you and that you would establish our thoughts, taking away all distractions, Father, so that we could completely just hear your voice as you speak to us, our hearts be affected, and Father, we would be changed more to the image of Christ, not because of our power, but because of his power and just the victory that he won for us on the cross of Calvary. And Father, I ask that you would help us, Lord, to really just be attentive to you as you speak to our hearts, because Lord understands, and sometimes you talk about the subject of salvation, those of us that are saved may sometimes without knowing it just tune it out because, well, I'm saved and I don't need to hear anything about it. But Lord, I pray that you would just help us to hear new and fresh the message of salvation, but more in depth what it is you want to talk to us about today. So, Father, would you draw us unto you? Ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The fact that Paul, as he writes to the church at Corinth, he's writing to a church of believers, but the church was kind of mixed with believers and those that are kind of living their life worldly and bringing the world system into the church service and really taking advantage of people, mistreating people. And Paul, in chapter 15, he's already written 14 chapters to them, even though there was not chapters in his letter. He wrote it to them, but for the benefit of us learning the Word of God, it's broken down into the chapters. And when you get to chapter 15, Paul makes this statement. He says, "Moreover, brethren," he is speaking to the believers, calling them brethren, "I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received." So he's reminding them of something they heard, something they freely and by faith received. And this morning I want to talk to us about that topic, "I declare." We're going to see this morning things that Paul declares just in these short four verses. We'll look at some other verses as well. But Paul had something to declare to these believers. Because you know what? Sometimes we need to be reminded of our stand in Christ. We need to be reminded of the gift of salvation that we have received. We need to be reminded of the fact that we have power in and through Jesus Christ. Like I said before, the month of October, Lord willing, will be a month where we preach and teach on the subject of false lies, all right? Wrong thinking. Because what happens to a person who believes something that's wrong? Well, they know it's wrong, they believe it's true, and therefore it causes them to live as though what they think is true, even if it's a lie. If I can just give this illustration, because I just read it recently, there was a pastor that had gone over to Russia years ago. He had gone there soon after The doors were open. Russia used to be a closed country. Back under the USSR, no Christians were allowed into the country. Nothing like that, but something happened. And there was a time when the doors open, and missionaries just flooded in there trying to pass out Bibles and gospel tracts and all of this. And the guide there, the young lady who was a tour guide, and talking to this pastor, she knew all the history about communism, and she even gave her testimony to the pastor that she had grown up under communism. All right, she had grown up under communism, under Marxism, the teachings of Marxism and all that. She believed that communism was the best thing anyone could have because she had learned that anybody out in the Western world, you know, that wasn't under communism, that, you know what, they were starving, they didn't have enough food and all of this. She believed this with all of her heart. But there came a time in her life where she was allowed to go to London for something. I don't know if it was business or whatever, but she was allowed to go to London. She went there, and it was late at night, she said, when she flew in. And so her first thing she was going to do in the morning was go to a supermarket because, you know, she knew that food would be scarce, and she just wanted to see what she had been told. And she was dumbfounded when she stepped foot into the supermarket. She says, I was almost like frozen as I just saw the vast array of produce and food. And she said, I realized I had been lied to. But see, she had believed it, and she believed it so much that she had already formulated her thoughts and her beliefs on the outside world where she grew up. And that's what we do. We sometimes formulate lies, or we hear a lie as given as truth, and then we base our life upon that, and we make decisions based upon that. And again, if you know the background of Corinthians, the church at Corinth, again, they were a church that was mixed up and messed up. Paul had gone there, preached the gospel. Many had gotten saved. He helped establish the church. But then the world kind of creeped in, and their services were very worldly. And again, they were mistreating people. They were, someone would come in, you know, well-dressed, a lot of money. They'd give them the favorite seat in the church there because, you know what, they might get more money if we give them the upper seat. And somebody that would come in rags, you know, just poor, couldn't do anything but wanted to hear the message. And they were a believer. Well, they were kind of put in the back corner, or as the Bible says, even, you know, told here, sit here under my footstool, get yourself out of sight so nobody sees you. All right, and Paul wanted to correct all of that. And in chapter 15, he says, I declare, he's reminding them of something that they have, something they received, something that changed their life. And then Paul says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you. In the morning, I want to declare the power of your life. Declare the power of your life. Because that power is the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said it this way in the book of Romans, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, just shall live by faith. And what is the faith that we are to live by? Our relationship with Lord Jesus Christ, right? It is our relationship with Lord Jesus Christ, living by faith, counting on Him, allowing our strength to come from Him, allowing our resources to come from Him, allowing Christ to even help formulate our own thoughts, our thoughts that are biblical, all right? That, again, this is why Paul says this. This is why he's bringing up the message of salvation to them, but more so their lives being changed by it. He says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. So he's reminding them of the gospel. I declare unto you because it is Jesus Christ that changes a life. It is Jesus Christ that saves a life, redeems a life, keeps a life secure. It is Jesus Christ from the moment that you are born again until the moment you meet him, it is him that keeps us on the right path. We are to keep eyes on the author and finisher of our faith, the Lord Jesus Christ. But he says, I declare unto you gospel. The gospel that changes lives by the power of Jesus Christ. And here's the gospel. Just turn the page over. You have to turn and look at verse 4. He mentions it to them. Again, he's not talking to lost people. He's talking to believers, reminding them of the power that they have in their life through Christ. Right? He says, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. See, Paul has a testimony. His life was changed by the power of Christ. And up until this point, it's Jesus Christ that has helped Paul to accomplish God's mission, God's ministry to Paul. He says, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to scriptures, not according to men's opinion, man's plan, but according to God's word, and that was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Again, for time's sake, we won't turn to the scripture in the Old Testament, but the Old Testament spoke of. The prophets foretold of the Messiah coming, right? Isaiah speaks about our sins as scarlet, but yet being washed in the blood of Jesus, becoming white like snow. But Paul says, I declare unto you the gospel. Jesus declared it unto Nicodemus. In John chapter 3, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. His name came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know thou art a teacher from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus, speaking to Nicodemus, declares to him, you're not going to heaven unless you're born again. He was a religious man. He was a religious leader. And he even comes and says, well, I know God is with you because no man can do the miracles you're doing except God be with him. He simply says, he declares Nicodemus, ye must be born again. In John chapter 3, verse 14, Jesus continues his discussion with Nicodemus and says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. I mean, Jesus declared it plainly to Nicodemus, just as Paul had declared it plainly to the Corinthian church, the believers at Corinth, that it is Jesus Christ. They had believed on the gospel, because again, notice, again, as he talked to them, he says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you. So obviously they heard what he said, and which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. So think about this. He declared the gospel unto them, and he declared that they had received it. You received the gospel that I had preached unto you. All right? They had believed by faith message that Paul had brought to them. In John chapter 1, verse 12, as many as received him, to them gave he power to the sons of God, even unto them that believe on his name, which were born not out of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. God. How is anyone born again? Through the power of God. God is the one then that gives it. Just keep that in mind. Let me say it again. I declare the power of your life. What's the power of your life as a born-again believer? It's Jesus Christ. Keep that in mind as we go through this. Don't lose me. Don't tune out. I'm talking about salvation, and maybe you already have it, and you're settled in that, okay? It's still in Scripture, And Paul still declared it to the Corinthian church, though they had received it. And he's reminding them, I preached it to you, you received it, all right? And they didn't just receive it as the word of man, but as it is the word of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. For this cause also we God without ceasing, because when you receive the word of God, he's talking to the church at Thessalonica, when you receive the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh so in you that believe. What's your opinion of this book right here? What do you think and believe of this book, the Bible? Do you believe it's the word of God? Then your life should be centered around it. Because if I believe Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation, I do, and there was a time in my life that I had to put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone, I had all the wrong thinking beforehand. As a little boy, I went to church, I went to Sunday school, I even said what's called the sinner's prayer and got baptized. Didn't mean anything. I didn't quite understand it. I was just asked, do you want to go to heaven? I sure do. Well, repeat after me. And I repeated a prayer. Therefore, I thought, I'm saved. But something down inside was nagging me, you're not. Yes, I am. I said a prayer. So I had formulated in my mind, because I said a prayer, that I was saved. And it wasn't until years later, with the help of my wife, God using her, saying, if you don't believe on Jesus Christ, if you don't get saved, you're going to go to hell. I love you. Good night. Right? I'll never forget that night. I forget a lot of things, don't I, guys? But that's one thing I'll never forget, because that God used to finally say, look, buddy. And he didn't really say that. It's kind of me saying it, all right? But he really convicted me that night that, you know what, you need to do something about it. I had to get over what I thought and believe what he says. Now, when you think about it, I had to receive it. She said, you're going to go to hell if you don't get saved. But that's what the Bible says. So you understand what Paul is saying. I came to you, I preached the gospel. You didn't receive it as the word of men, though I'm a man and I was preaching to you, but you received it as it is in truth, the word of God. The message is God's message. All right? And again, that's why Jesus, back in John chapter 3, speaking to a man, Jesus first tells Nicodemus, no, God loves you, for God loved the world of the world. That includes you. That includes me. Right? And because God loves you and loves me, he sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins. And this is what Jesus said in verse 18. As I'm a man, repeating what Jesus said, yet it's the word of God. He that believeth on him, Jesus, is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You understand what Paul is saying now to the church of Corinth. I preached, you received it, and they didn't just receive it. Well, you know, Paul's a good man, and I believe what he says. I trust Paul. No, they received it as it is the word of God. Every single person has to receive the message of salvation as truth. That it's not man's way, it's God's way. Because God's way brings a change in a person's life. It brings power in a person's life to transform them into the image of Christ, to transform their thinking into the mind of Christ. Having the mind of Christ, what? The new creature in Christ, I can't think the way I used to think. Right? I can't allow my wrong thinking that I had to keep controlling my life and keep controlling the decisions I make and the things that I do, right? So Paul's reminding them because, let me remind us, this is a church that will mess up. This is a church that received the truth. But sometime after Paul left, they thought, hey, we need to add some things into our worship service. We need to do this and do that, right? They didn't just stand fast on the gospel and the truth of God's word. They thought, well, we got some things, and guess what? It messed them up. Because then they started, you know what? We don't like that person. They can sit over there. We don't like that person because, you know what? They might benefit us. We'll have them sit here. Their thinking caused them to get off track of the path that God had placed their feet on, all right? So again, for this cause also, thank be God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God. And if we believe that this is the word of God, then we'll base our life upon this. We will let it be the lamp unto our feet, the light of our path. We will believe what God says. Because again, if I have convinced myself that God doesn't love me, God doesn't care, and, well, you know what, this book is just by man, so it's, you know. Then guess what? I'm not going to follow God. I'm not going to follow his teachings. And what did Jesus say? Keep my commandments. He said, follow my teachings. Because his teachings truly make us free, right? His teachings make us free. Helping us to see the light, helping us to see things that are controlling us, things that are destroying us. Notice in chapter 15 and again, 1 Corinthians, in verse number 1, all right? He declares to them the gospel that they already heard and received. And then he says at the end of verse 1, and wherein ye stand, all right? He says, I declare the gospel that you heard and received and that you stand in, all right? The stand speaks steadfastness. It speaks of steadfastness. It speaks of being grounded and rooted firmly. He declares to them, it's the gospel, it's God's word, it's the power of Christ that helps us to become rooted and grounded and steadfast in our faith and walk with the Lord. Colossians chapter 2, verse 5 says this, for though I am absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Paul, who writes this letter to the church of Colossae, he's the human writer, but God is the author. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. But if I don't believe that, then I'm not going to believe that I need to walk in Christ. I'm not going to believe that I need to let Christ have control of my life. Because let's face it, there's enough outside influence in this world that want control of our life. Utility companies, right? Employers, right? Gas station, raise the prices. I mean, just this past week, going to FedEx and passing several gas stations, it was like, in a matter of days, it's like the price went up and down 30 cents. Went up to $3.99, back down to $3.99, back. It's like, and guess what? They've got you because you need gas and you're going to pay whatever is there, right? So I'm just saying, anything that you and I can control in our life, man, we control it. Because we can. There's something in life we can't control. We just have to kind of go along with it. But one thing you and I can control and need to control is our stand in Christ. That's why Paul says, I declare unto you, yes, the gospel. Yes, you heard it, received it. But also your stand, your steadfastness. You and I have got to remain rooted, grounded, and steadfast in Christ in our faith and in our beliefs of God's word. Colossians chapter 2, verse 5. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying, beholding your order, and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Paul reminds the church at Colossae, you've already been taught this. So remain steadfast in your faith in Christ. Remain rooted and grounded in Christ so you can continue growing. You can be like that tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth its fruit in its season. You can be strong in the Lord, strong in your faith. Again, what lie are you believing this morning? Because the world always has an opposite to what God says. We're told in Ephesians chapter 6, be strong in the Lord. The world says, no, you got to be strong in yourself. You got to have that self-confidence, that self-motivation. I mean, take care of yourself. But the Bible says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Nobody gets saved without humbling themselves under Christ and saying, I need you, Lord. I am doomed. I'm a sinner headed for hell, and I need Jesus Christ. Nobody gets saved on their own doing anything other than trusting Jesus Christ. Again, that's why, again, Paul continues to say, I declare unto you what you heard, what you received, and what you were standing on. The Bible says this way in another place. Paul says in one of his other letters, he says, don't fall from grace. Not falling from salvation, but falling from grace, you know. Just walking away from the Lord. Because you and I have received the grace of God, and it's his grace that helps us to live every day. It's the grace of his power in our life. Remember, Paul said he needs the power of Christ upon his life. I'd rather glory in my infirmities. If it's your will that I suffer the rest of my life, I'm fine with that as long as the power of Christ is upon me so I can endure what I have to go through. Because you know, we can't endure life without Christ. We'll never find any victory. We'll never overcome anything in our life without Christ. And Paul is declaring to them the gospel, because what is the gospel? Yeah, he mentions it in verse 3 and 4. It's the death, burial, and resurrection. It's the only way to get saved is to believe on the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 10. Okay? But what is it about the death, burial, and resurrection? It's the power of Christ. Jesus Christ willingly laid down his life. No man took it from him. He laid it down. When he cried out on the cross in Scripture, it is finished. The centurion witnessed Jesus crying out, it is finished, and giving up the ghost. You can almost imagine Christ on the cross. The centurion, he's there to guard. He's there to make sure, you know, make sure, in fact, you know what? They're going to have to kill the two thieves because the Passover, the preparation of the Passover is coming on, right? They got to get the bodies off the cross. That's why when they come to Christ, you know, they pierce him with the sword. They're like, is he already dead? And they pierce him, and yeah, he's already dead. The centurion witnessed him crying out, it is finished, and giving up the ghost. It's almost like, it is finished, and then he just... gone. He's not in the body anymore. But 3 days later, something happened. Christ arose. Because death has no power over the giver of life. But Jesus allowed himself to not only experience birth and living like you and me, but he allowed himself to suffer death, to suffer the agony of death, so the victory would be a lot sweeter, for you and me, because it's the power of Christ. It's the power of Christ. Verse number 2, he says, by which also you saved, he began declaring their salvation unto them, but they are to stand firm in the truth that God was transforming them into the image of God. Romans 8:29 says this, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he justified, and whom he justified, them he glorified. All through the power of Christ. We can't justify ourselves. We can't glorify ourselves. We can't sanctify ourselves. We can't save ourselves. It's the power of Christ that works in you and works in me and everybody that believes. So he declares their standing, and he declares there's their salvation, by which also ye are saved. No other way to have your sins forgiven or washed away. Titus chapter 3 reminds us, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to him, his mercy saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How's your thinking on that? Do you believe those verses I've read so far? But he says he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness if we'll confess it, right? Some people don't want to confess their sins. Some people don't want to let go of the lie that God can't help me. God can't change me. Because it's a stronghold. It's a stronghold in their life, this wrong thinking. Wrong thinking that they've trusted Christ for their Savior, but everything else in life, they think they have to work it out themselves. They think they have to overcome it by themselves instead of the power that works in them. There's he that's in you than he that's in the world, right? Jesus Christ. But he goes on, 1 Peter chapter 1 says, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. And Revelation 1:5, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Because his blood is righteous, his blood is sinless. Do you believe any of that I just read from Scripture? Then why do sometimes we don't believe that God will help us or that God cares about us? Why is it that we sometimes think that, you know what? God just wants me to be miserable. Well, that goes against what Jesus said. Jesus said, come to give life and give it more abundantly. Life is miserable, but not your with Christ. Life can be miserable at times because we face difficulties. All right? And I believe that's why Paul, again, in chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, is pointing these believers back to the power of their life, Jesus Christ. I declare unto you the gospel, which I preach unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved. Yes, you believed once the death, burial, and resurrection, but have you stopped believing that the power of Christ can still work in your life? Have you stopped believing that God can do anything for you that needs to be done according to his will? Jesus chose to come and to die for you and me. He chose to die a cruel, agonizing death for our sins, to show how much he loves us. He chose to put on sinful flesh, tempted in all points like as we are yet without sin, so we could be robed in his garment of righteousness. What is the power of your life? Because you realize what we think can either help us or destroy us. If I believe Christ is my Savior, and I believe he's the power of my life, then guess what? I'm going to declare every day I have victory through Jesus Christ. But the thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 John chapter 5, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Because you know what? If I believe he's the Son of God, I also believe he's my Lord and Savior. I believe that he is the power of my life. I believe that my life needs to be centered around him. That my life is to be yielded to him. My thinking is to be yielded to him. That's why Paul even says in one of his letters, he says, pulling down the strongholds of the imaginations that are contrary to Christ. But listen, if I do believe that I have the power of Christ in my life, I'm not just going to declare that I have victory in Christ every day. Because you know what that means? It means I have to encourage myself that what? When I'm having a bad day or those wrong thoughts want to take over again. No. I'm going there because I have victory in Christ. Jesus has redeemed me from the clutches of sin, from the deceit of sin. But also I'm going to declare every day that Jesus is the strength of my life. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4 says this, ye are of God, little children, have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Do you believe that Christ is in you? The Bible says he is. Philippians 4, 13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Paul had to declare something these believers at Corinth already knew. But he had to declare it to them so their eyes and their thinking could get back on track. Because there were some things that were wrong in their life and in their church services. Not everybody in the church was doing it wrong. Okay? But those that were doing it wrong, he rebukes in the early chapters. But then speaking to all of them as a whole, as believers, he says, look, the only thing I think I can declare unto you is what you've already heard. Jesus is your Lord and Savior. That's his message in a nutshell. Jesus is your Lord and Savior. He needs to be the power and strength of your life, and you are to, by faith, follow him, and by faith, have the right thinking that if I belong to the Lord and King of Kings, I know he loves me. I know he's got a purpose for my life. I know that he wants me to walk in victory and not in defeat. And that's why I think in October it's very important that we go through a series on wrong thinking, because wrong thinking, let me tell you the right thinking. It's probably mixed with wrong thinking too, just thinking about it. Not in a bad way. But I heard somebody say this once. The book will either keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. Right? Either God's word will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from God's word. So what's more important? What God's given you? What you think? Because if I let sin reign in my life, it's going to keep me from this book. Do you find it hard to read your Bible? Might be because there's sin in your life. It may not be sin like, you know, you've committed murder or you're drinking or you're doing drugs or immorality. But whatsoever is not of faith is a sin. If you've stopped trusting God, you've stopped following God, it's hard to read the Bible. Because we've given place to the flesh. The flesh becomes stronger as we resist the things of God. But as we give ourselves more to the things of God and more to God's word, man, it becomes sweeter, it becomes easier, it becomes our source that we know we can't do without. If we didn't need God's word, he wouldn't have had it written down for us. Man would not have died to write God's word down. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God that you and I may be profitable, right? We may be reproved. We may be corrected. We may be perfect first, right? Mature in all good works. I mean, think about what God's given you. I declare unto us the power of our lives. It's Jesus Christ. Stop letting the devil have control of thinking in your life. Just remember, you're a child of God. He's given you power to become the sons of God, the children of God. And you know what? Somebody needs this. You may not. But at the same time, we all do because we all face the wrong thinking at different times.